show for all your latest UFC news and rumors. It's Brian Coyle. It's Sean Stanley. It's the TFM Live Podcast. And it's now.
What's going on, everybody, and welcome to TFM Live, the official podcast of the FullMountMMA.com. I am Brian Coyle, joined alongside my friend Sean Stanley. And Sean, I asked questions last week about UFC 205, and I was worried, you know, the card was looking a little thin. This is New York City. This is Madison Square Garden. Ticket prices, you know, could be a little high, which we'll get to along the show. I was worried that the UFC was going to take this and look at it and be like, we're going to stand our ground on archaic negotiation rules, and we're going to try to do what we want, and it's going to bite us in the butt. Turns out I had nothing to be worried about, because UFC 205, Sean, is it the greatest ever assembled matchup card in mixed martial arts history? This is the way I want to start off the show today, because 205's ridiculous.
No, it's past ridiculous. I mean, you got Dana White saying this is never going to happen, and there's no way he's going to, you know, be able to fight now, what, a week later? I mean, we called it last week, and we said, well, if Dana says it's not going to happen, it's going to happen. And sure enough, here we are a week later talking about what will be the probably one of the best cards in MMA. I mean, just after this card, I don't know how it's going to look.
That's a great point. Though I do have to take a look at this and say, we always joke, every time Dana White says something, the opposite's going to happen. He used Khabib Nurmagomedov as leverage, I guess, and Jose Aldo maybe as leverage. And we'll talk about Aldo in a little bit, because he's not very happy with the promotion right now.
Not at all.
Basically, if you haven't been following, which you should, on the FullMountMMA.com, which you can read complete details on UFC 205, Dana White responded to a random Twitter question of a fan asking if McGregor Alvarez was going to happen at UFC 205. And then Dana was like, no, it's Khabib versus Alvarez. First kind of thing you get suspicious about, why would he just randomly answer a fan's tweet and announce a fight? Right?
Mm-hmm.
A little weird.
Yeah, I agree.
And secondly, this is UFC 205 at Madison Square Garden, the first entry into New York City, second card ever for the UFC in New York, because that happened way back in 1995, I think. So we had our suspicions. The UFC plants a Conor McGregor leg injury story on UFC Tonight, which, I mean, like the negotiations, so weird. But then we find out on the eve of Tuesday, Conor McGregor, Eddie Alvarez headlining UFC 205. Tyron Woodley, Wonderboy Thompson, co-main. Joanna Joan Jacek and Karolina Kovalkiewicz. That was announced over the weekend. That's happening, which is amazing. Misha Tate is fighting on this card against Raquel Pennington. That was announced. Chris Weidman, Yoel Romero. Weidman finally gets on the New York card. Some representation, with the exception of Frankie Edgar. And technically, he's from New Jersey. I know I live in New Jersey. It's not the same thing, but it's kind of the same thing.
Close enough, and, right?
Yeah. And you lost Ali Aquinta due to contract negotiation. Jim Miller comes on that card to fight Thiago Alves. So all of a sudden, UFC 205 comes together real quick. And it's like one of the best put together cards that we've ever seen. UFC 189 was put together. It was supposed to be great. 194 and all that. UFC 200 on paper looked like the best card in the world. John Jones is it. And you have multiple changes throughout the card when injuries occur. But now 205, as you mentioned it, from top to bottom, this is an absolutely incredible card. I'm going to run through it.
But can we say one thing? There's still 30 days to go.
We're looking at November 12th.
Actually 40 days. I'm just looking at November. Getting to November, much less, you know, we got to get through almost half of November, too.
We're over a month away from UFC 205. I like when there's no math involved in the show. So, top to bottom, this card is crazy. Let's just talk about some of the fights that are happening here. And we have to talk about the UFC 205 press conference, where Conor McGregor ether Jeremy Stephens. I don't think he's actually on the card. I don't know where he is. Like, I don't know if he's still
he's
alive
on there.
After that. Yeah, technically it says he's still on there, but, like, I mean, you got embarrassed on you know, national TV repeatedly because every show picked that up and ran that audio after that press conference. If you haven't watched the UFC 205 press conference, please do. And all notes to media members out there that are at that press conference that have never covered mixed martial arts before, at least learn the names of the guys that you're covering.
Oh, who messed up? What happened?
I mean, there's been there was a couple of mispronunciations. I mean, I get it. John Jacek, Kowalkiewicz, like the long Polish names, a little difficult. But it just seemed like there were several times where people just were there. I don't know if they seemed like plants. I mean, it was – and I say that in a literal sense by the UFC and then the also physical sense by them not adding anything to – the press conference itself by being actual, like, you know, as useful as a ficus in the corner. But from top to bottom, this card's amazing. Let's start. I mean, Tim Kennedy, Rashad Evans was announced on this card way. This was the first fight announced on it. So Tim Kennedy's return, which I find very interesting after the long.
Now, can I ask a question? Because didn't most of the fights that got announced earlier end up now being the undercard, the prelims? Well,
the fights that were most recently announced, Frankie Yeager, Jeremy Stephens, Tate Pennington, Khabib, and Michael Johnson's on this card after Khabib got, frankly, used by Dana White in negotiations. Weidman Romero was announced last. Cerrone was supposed to fight Lawler. Imagine if Lawler-Cerrone was on this card.
But do you think their other fights would have made it to the card if it was that one still on the card? Do you think they would have went so full board to make sure that McGregor made it to the card?
I don't know if they would have used the strawweight title fight because that's something, I mean, and it was said on stage, I think by Joanna, that they were going to fight in Poland and then they decided to fight in New York. So I think that has a little bit to it. I think they were a little nervous about the McGregor aspect of all this. So I think that's how that came about. Frankie Edgar, Jeremy Stephens seems to me like Frankie – we're giving you a guy that we think you can beat. I mean, after getting him, not embarrassed by Aldo, but he got pretty torn up in that fight. And Stephens is a guy who can knock people out. This is very true. I mean, he said it himself before he was unfortunately disappeared because of the insults thrown his way. He's a guy who's not as technically skilled and probably Frankie's got the edge in that one. Khabib, Michael Johnson, after destroying Dustin Poirier, reasserts himself into the lightweight picture. And Khabib, who's really – he's undefeated, but he's had one fight in the past 2.5 years. He's been repeatedly injured, and people were talking about him as a number one contender. I didn't really get it because he hasn't kind of earned it, and I know – the way
really,
we
you're telling
belts.
Me that you have to earn title fights these days?
Yeah, it's yeah,
really,
I mean, and I say that while McGregor, like it's not the it's there's no rhyme or reason to it anymore. And if you're not the most, you know, the greatest draw in the history of combat sports, as Conor McGregor is, you don't have that luxury of just being I'm undefeated, I deserve a title shot.
No, you get used to get the other guy in the fight.
Yeah. Weidman Romero is an amazing fight.
That's gonna be good
because essentially we have Bisping against old man Dan Henderson, UFC 204, and we have Weidman Romero, and we have Rockhold Jacare in late November in Melbourne. So the middleweight picture will decide itself out hopefully pretty soon. Wonder Boy and Woodley we knew about. Tyron Woodley booed roundly by the New York crowd, which I was interested to see if the crowd would take sides in that fight because you're looking at two guys. Woodley slowly, like, he's kind of making his presence known a little bit more, which I like. I mean, you got to go for what you like, what you want to get. And Woodley wants to be this big draw, and he didn't get the money fight.
I was
going to
say, is this really the money fight that he was hoping for?
No, but if he knocks out Wonder Boy, sure, now he can talk.
I don't know. I still don't think he can talk.
Really?
Yeah,
I mean, Wonder Boy is so technically skilled, and I think I'm I don't know who to pick in that fight personally.
No, I mean, I'm not saying that, yeah. But I just don't think Woodley's the marketable one, like a McGregor or some of those other guys. That's his problem.
Mm-hmm. And if you've noticed, on every McGregor card, there's always a fight before it that's supposed to be a brawl. We had Rory McDonald and Lawler mm-hmm. before. We had Weidman and Rockhold. Now we have like 3, 4, 5, 6 fights on this card right before McGregor, which are the amazing sort of this is going to be a war, especially Joan Jacek and Kovalevich for them, because there's going to be animosity in that fight mm-hmm. for sure. But let's talk about, because we'll break down every fight as the card gets closer right here on TFM Live, the official podcast, thefullmanofmma.com. Of course, a little quick outro here. You can find us online, thefullmanofmma.com. You can find us on Twitter, at thefullmount. Follow me on Twitter if you guys want to ask us questions, at bcoil11, at SS Sports Talk for Sean. On Twitter as well, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Just type it in. It'll pop right up. So a little housekeeping there. But this is the story here. We have Eddie Alvarez and Conor McGregor for the lightweight title. McGregor gets a chance to become the first ever two-time concurrent UFC champion. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, we've seen Jose Aldo. He's now threatening to take the UFC to court to cancel his contract because he feels he's been slighted over this decision. Nate Diaz was taking to Twitter calling out McGregor. Number one, what do you think of McGregor getting the title fight? Is it a brilliant bout of matchmaking for the UFC? Is it I think Conor's frankly a badass for even attempting this after three months later fighting that war against Diaz. But number one, does the fight make sense? And number two, is it going to be as competitive as we think? Or is this Conor trying again to usurp and go up a weight class and it's not going to turn out the way he thinks it is?
Well, money-wise, I think it makes sense for the UFC because you put Conor McGregor on the card in New York and it's going to pay-per-views and buys and attendance. So money-wise, I think it makes a lot of sense. Go ahead.
I was going to say, also, just a quick note, that afternoon there was an Irish soccer game, Ireland versus Austria. I know it will happen at 2 o'clock New York time, so when the Irish fly over, they'll be watching the soccer game in all of New York's finest establishments and then going to Madison Square Garden. So this will be the rowdiest crowd, I believe, of any McGregor fight.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. And in MSG, New York, of course, a hotbed of Irish immigrants back way back, if you want to go back to Ellis Island in those days. So, there's an Irish contingent that won't just be flying over, but will also be at the Garden. The Irish roots in New York are so strong. I feel like it's the perfect kind of setup for at least for a money fight, but from a combat perspective, is this a bad matchup for Conor?
Well, I don't think it's going to be the fight that, you know, I mean, Alvarez, you know, is McGregor healthy? I mean, you know, we hear all this stuff about, you know, the leg and things like that. How much of it is, you know, smoke and mirrors, and how much of it is true? I mean, is he going to have to game plan to where 205, it's more of, it's not really the Conor McGregor that you've become known of, and is he going to dance around and just try to get through 5 rounds? Is he going to attack? What are we going to get, you know? So, I mean, the matchup, if it's a healthy McGregor, I think it'll be a decent matchup as far as that goes. But if it's an unhealthy McGregor, I mean, it could be a long day.
A lot of people, when we look at UFC Eddie Alvarez, they don't realize Alvarez's pedigree. Also, the Philly little intricacy here, I love personally from a East Coast reference, because the Philly-New York relationship has always been oh so wonderful, as I can tell you from many Giant Eagle games that I've seen and I've heard stories from and all that. this is Alvarez going into enemy territory. It's going to be a crazy atmosphere. I don't know how many people will be able to get tickets, however, though, because I wanted to get this in, and we'll get back to the fight. I've talked about this fight. Like, I want to be at the Garden for it. It's the first ever fight in Madison Square Garden. If the wing and a prayer media credential idea for us as a website sometimes doesn't come to fruition, as we can see with the media that it showed up to that UFC 205 press conference is concerned, sometimes it's a little wonky how the credential system works.
Yes, it is.
As we've seen with the most major of publications, even for the UFC back in the day. So, as you know, trying to figure out, want to buy a ticket to UFC 205, you go online, you type in the old UFC pre-sale. This is before the tickets come out. We're recording this on a Thursday night. Friday morning, the tickets come out. So I had access to the UFC pre-sale. So you find out these promotional codes, you type it in. The ticket started at $106. That was the cheapest ticket, which Madison Square Garden, I mean, if you've ever been to a Knicks game, if you've ever seen, like, the tickets for the Garden, of course, are inherently expensive. It's New York City, the pageantry, the glitz, the grand. Even when the Garden was a dump, which it was about 10 years ago, infrastructure-wise, now it's nice. Now the renovations were beautifully done. It was still really expensive to go. So then you look at the $106 tickets. You type it in. You try to get it. 9 o'clock. No dice. You type it in. The next one up, $256. You type it in. No dice. $400. Nah. $650. No. The cheapest ticket at 9:05 when tickets went on sale at 9 o'clock this morning on UFC pre-sale, mind you. General admission has not been even released yet. $805. And that will get you not on the floor, not cage side, not in the 100s. You're talking 200 level of a basketball arena for a UFC event. If you wanted to buy two tickets with taxes and fees included, you are spending at least $2,000 for the cheapest ticket available. If you had gone on to the Ticketmaster website at 9 o'clock in the morning for a pre-sale, if you had spent money previously to be part of the UFC's club, $80 membership for tickets. I heard people talk about this yesterday. The cheapest ticket that normal, you know, hardworking people could find, $656. So man, the crowd, you got to know somebody to know somebody. That's the first thing, and it always happens with the Garden, for sure. Or you are paying out the nose to see this card. It will be the highest gate that the UFC probably has ever done.
Well, I hope so. With those prices, it's got to be.
For that type of arena, I don't know if, given the Toronto show and the Melbourne show, with the amount of people that could go, I don't know if we'll beat that gate. It won't, but this will be one of the highest. As long as McGregor stays on this card and does not get injured, it will be the biggest pay per view, for sure. One of the highest grossing events for the UFC. It might not be the most profitable because of the fact that Madison Square Garden is notorious for having. It costs a lot of money to put stuff on at the Garden. Just through unionized and just the permits and all these kinds of stuff, it costs a lot of money to play Madison Square Garden. That's why you see more organizations like WWE going to the Barclays Center, because it's much cheaper to do it in Brooklyn than it is in Manhattan. So this will be an amazing event. Like, this will be something that takes over New York City. And it will be exactly what the UFC wants it to be, as long as Conor McGregor stays on this card, number one. And number two, the fact that they played games with McGregor up until this point, it's eventually they're going to try to play games and it's not going to work. And they're going to get caught in a lurch. And it's going to bother the new ownership. And it's going to teach somebody a lesson. as far as when it comes to, because there's rising costs and rising problems with fighter morale and unhappiness, as we've seen people speaking out left and right. You don't get money. You don't get a slice of the TV revenue because that TV contract is coming up soon. It might be spread across multiple networks, according to reports on Twitter. And there's no video game revenue that these fighters get. And you have the Reebok deal and these all these things. This is what the UFC wants. They've nailed it with 205, but there's a storm coming in regards to free agency, and we've seen how the UFC has dealt with that so far, and they're going to have to be careful as the profiles of their fighters rise, which is what obviously you're doing here, to put Weidman on it, to put Cowboy Cerrone on it, to put Miesha Tate on this card, to put Woodley and Wonder Boy on this card. You're hoping that people tune in and like, oh, yo, that fighter's really cool. Let me check him out. When's the next time? And somebody sees him next fighting, and it just kind of builds and builds like that. But 205 itself, it should be awesome. Overall, your impression, Sean, when it comes to the way the UFC has gone about this, I mean, does it matter that we went through all this to get this amazing result? Or eventually is this going to become an issue, you think?
Oh, no, I think you're right there. There's a storm brewing. Again, it was the old I can't even say the old regime, because this regime's doing it too, is that you're letting fighters dictate, and now it's not just one fighter. I mean, McGregor is really, you know, dictating everything, but now you've got other fighters not afraid to speak out and be like, well, then I'll just get out of my contract and go elsewhere. Or they're speaking freely about leaving. And it's not just one fighter. You're seeing it now, almost every fighter that comes up for renewal, a good fighter. I mean, there's some they're just letting walk away. Don't get me wrong. I understand that. But even the fighters that, you know, they think they have. I mean, think about this, okay? And I doubt it'll ever happen, but what if Conor McGregor comes up for renewal? What do you think is going to happen with that negotiation?
Now, McGregor said, I mean, he said at the press conference that he cleared $40 million this year with this fight. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Might be close.
Could be. We don't know. We don't know the pay-per-view points. And it's been talked about by a lot of, like, the bigger names in MMA media, Jonathan Stone and Luke Thomas, Ariel Helwani, like these, Jeremy Botter, all these guys have repeatedly hit on this subject with good reason, because fighters' contracts are basically fight-to-fight contracts. Mm-hmm. It's not like they can cut you if you lose. That's in every UFC contract. And a guy like Weidman, for example, he's the champ. He's getting pay-per-view points. He's getting champion-type money. And then all of a sudden, he's no longer the champ, so he's not getting pay-per-view points. And he's locked into what they negotiated for. And if he's not happy, why did it take him until the day before to be officially on this card with Romero? Like, why did it take so long for the guy who's spent tireless hours, days, months, years of his life to fight for mixed martial arts in New York? Why did it take until the last second for him to be on this card? And McGregor opened the press conference by calling out everyone around him, saying, you guys are idiots. Why, like, you're all fighting for the money on your contract. You're like, oh, we'll be a good soldier and fight for the money on my contract. I get paid what I get paid because I'm worth it, and I do this and I do that. And it's brutal what he says to his fellow fighters.
Yeah, but it's true, though. It's true.
It's absolutely true.
And sometimes that truth hurts. And, I mean, in some of these guys, you got to, you know, and again, we talked about it before. You know, they were talking about a union. And that probably will not happen for the same reason it wouldn't happen like in pro wrestling, because they're always going to find people that want to fight on UFC, and that may do it cheaper and this and that. But there's got to come a time where something's got to give somewhere down the line. What it is, I'm not sure, but it's not going to be pretty. I don't think it's going to end pretty for. I mean, UFC's kind of locked in with Reebok, so there's not much they can do there. But I mean, can't start
unless there's a change in thinking on the UFC side. And why would there be when they're making all of this money? Mm-hmm. there needs, I don't know what it's going to take, because you can, a fighter union, great. Is it going to work in practice? Like, this is new territory for everybody with this new ownership group, and they're going to take all these headaches, and they're going to have to deal with them on a case-by-case basis. They're locked into this Reebok deal. I forget who reported it, but this new TV deal, which I think comes up in a year or two, is going to be something where the fights could be spread across multiple networks, a la the NFL. Like, where, all right, NBC could do it. Like, we saw PBC, the boxing on NBC, on Fox, on FX, on Spike, on CBS.
Yes.
And there's the other thing with CBS potentially merging with Viacom. You could end up with Bellator shows on CBS-owned television channels because Viacom owns Bellator. And is this an Elite XC Showtime sort of setup? I mean, we don't know where Bellator is going to go in the future. But let's say a couple of these more big-name fighters. Rory McDonald is a guy who's theoretically, right, in his prime, where he can be somebody who they're going to rely upon to build around for a couple years. I mean, Chael Sonnen's really old now by fighter standards. But if, let's say, a couple other big-time talent goes across, and it's nothing that the UFC needs to be worried about in its immediacy. But this is something, and you see it in the way the negotiations happened at UFC 205 and Joe Silva leaving, and now Dana White's kind of left to his own devices at the moment trying to make these things work. And it's just it's the whole way this came about, even though the final result is awesome. We get Eddie Alvarez, Conor McGregor for the UFC for the lightweight title. And that's an awesome fight. But fighters who have the power can dictate what they want. Fighters who don't have the power just have to shut up and take it, it seems like. And eventually, if this sport continues to grow and grow, there'll be less fighters that can shut up and take it and more fighters who have a little bit of power. And that is where the issue lies. Now, I don't want it to get too serious here because, man, oh, man, that's an amazing card and it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it is, but I wonder, like, you know, when you're talking about this, though, how much is, you know, when all the contracts are paid out, what is going to be the difference between, you know, the guy that could be, you know, the Conor McGregor, you know, against compared to what Yoel Romero or some of these other guys are making? It's going to be interesting to see what, or even who he's fighting, Eddie Alvarez. What's going to be the difference between those two?
And then you think about it, this with the Ali Aquinta story. And if you didn't hear this, Ali Aquinta, obviously a lightweight for the UFC, where he's a guy who's a fan favorite. He fights a fan favorite style. I would assume so. If that's what you can call it. But he's a guy who, after missing a UFC sponsored event in Vegas because he was sick. And then he lives by the beach. This was a story reported by MMAfighting.com. He took an Instagram picture of himself at the beach because, I mean, that's where he lives. The UFC saw this and precluded him from winning Fight of the Night bonuses for the next three fights because he didn't show up to a UFC event in Las Vegas that week because he wasn't feeling well. And they took it out on him by excluding him from fight bonuses for a couple of times. Like, that seems so petty for this gigantic organization to do that.
I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to show that they still have power because they can do that to these guys where they can't do that with Conor McGregor. They can't do it with, you know, Nate Diaz. I mean, Nate Diaz will tell them. I mean, you got guys that'll fight and you got guys that'll just take it. And as you said before, that when that breaking point comes, that is going to be the interesting part of this whole conversation because, you know, look, some of these guys, you know, might be able to go elsewhere. They might be able to do something. Or does it come to a point to where all of a sudden you've got this big card booked and then all of a sudden you have no fighters?
Yeah, it's crazy. And We'll have a full we'll continue to monitor these stories. The Jose Aldo story is very interesting because, personally, for me, I think Aldo, with his penchant for injury and losing the way he did, from I get like the UFC not wanting to book him against McGregor immediately. And I don't like if McGregor wants to fight for the 155-pound belt, I mean, and you need him for Madison Square Garden, which they obviously did, there's nothing you can do. But essentially, Aldo comes out and says through Combate on Tuesday that he's done. He doesn't want to deal with this BS anymore. He's going to retire from mixed martial arts if this is the way he's going to be treated. He wants to go. His team is willing to go to court to fight out to get out of his contract. Dana White responded saying, "I'm going to give him a call. I'm not going to terminate your contract," whatever the case may be. But Aldo is a guy, if he somehow got out of his UFC contract, if he went to Bellator, it's like, whoa, this is a guy who we still think is in his prime, because watching him against Frankie Edgar was vintage Aldo. He got knocked out with the right punch in 13 seconds. It happens, even to the best. So now, this is the kind of guy where, I mean, he can't win against the UFC in court, number one, because they'll bleed him dry, which we don't want to happen because he's such a fantastic fighter. I mean, Wanderlei Silva has come out and said, oh, why not you fight at Rizin, or however you pronounce the Japanese promotion. I've heard it 70,000 ways.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm.
But this is the sort of thing. We don't want UFC 205 to be the peak, you know?
Well, I think it may. And I'm not going to say the peak, but I don't think you're going to get cards like this as often anymore. You may get your, 300 if there is a, up to 300. You're going to have your maybe 250s, things like that. They're going to have to figure out something. But, I mean, look at what they're going to do here in this fight. Say all these fights are end up being slugfests or, which most of them are going to be very competitive. You're going to have fighters out for 3 to 6 months, depending on what their injuries or anything in these fights could be. Yeah. And so where do you go from here? I mean, if you're looking at that, it's 6 months. I'm just throwing that out there because it's easy to do the math. You're looking at May.
Yeah.
For some of these guys on this card to possibly be their next fight. And when you look at this card, can you have January, December, January, February, March, April, before you get to May to possibly have some of these guys? And I understand not everybody's going to get 6 months. I'm playing devil's advocate here. But when you do cards like this, this is kind of you leave yourself open. And we talked about it when they did all those July cards. They had a great July, and then it kind of tapered down, and then we had a couple – good pay-per-views. But when you start looking at all these things they're doing, because you have to remember, it's not just pay-per-views. You got the UFCs on Fox. You got the fight nights. You got the fight pass cards. You got all this other stuff that you still have to fill, too.
Yeah, and it's crazy, too, because GSP is kind of waiting in the wings here, ready to fight, possibly in Toronto, UFC 206, and that would make too much sense in the world. The problem is his contract is from pre-USADA, pre-Reebok days.
Mm-hmm.
So he wants to get his money,
yep,
which he deserves. Problem is, the UFC doesn't want to give it to him, and they want to put him on the Reebok deal, and they want to do that. And it's just this acrimonious relationship where Dana White comes out and says, I don't think GSP has the belief anymore, to really fight. If he really wanted to fight, it would be done already. That's a guy who helped build your sport. And taking pot shots at people in the media, it doesn't come off as it comes off as petty, and it comes off as something you don't see in other sports. You don't see the commissioners or the presidents of these other major big time sports, is what the UFC always wants to be. That's the goal. Just taking shots at their constituents, at their players, it's like if the owners of these NFL teams would just take shots at their star players, saying,
"Ah,
this guy's not
really
worth it."
Also, see what these big time do. You don't see, like, the NFL really, you know, being, you know, or I'll take basketball, for instance, because imagine if they, if basketball, the NBA said, okay, everybody has to wear Adidas.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean,
no shoe deals. Yeah. No, none of this.
I mean, it doesn't work. It's almost archaic, the way their mentality is that, hey, it should never be that way. I mean, if Reebok wants to be a part of it, then, you know, make them something, you know, like the way, you know, like, what, I don't really know if it's Pepsi or Coke or whatever it is for the NFL. Yeah, almost every stadium serves one or the other, but yeah, that's who they sponsor the NFL. They don't sell them, hey, you have to wear Adidas. Oh, you have to wear Under Armour. Oh, you have to wear this. To me, that's just, I mean, you set yourself up for failure, especially signing as long term of a deal as they have.
Completely. It's such a weird situation. And we will be celebrating the awesome fights to come. It's just this kind of thing needs to be monitored for when we hear if GSP doesn't get a deal done, or like Nick Diaz, we never see him again, or Nate, like guys that we love as draws, and the UFC doesn't want to pay these guys what they're presumably worth, then we're going to run into issues.
Now, can GSP show up on one of the other cards?
No.
Is that a possibility or no?
I don't think so.
He's still under contract with UFC.
He's technically still under contract.
Okay.
I was reading stuff about GSP, and if you can give me a chance to look this up here, that somebody kept tweeting about GSP and Ben Askren fighting in Toronto. And Askren's a guy who fights for one championship. And GSP, like, if you have these kind of independent fighters sort of going for, if they're not, like, locked in, and you can kind of create these big cards, and you don't have to put on a product every single freaking week like the UFC does. We're lucky this week. We get John Lineker and Jod Dodson somehow.
Yeah, but somehow nobody's talking about that. I mean, it's hilarious how this happens.
It's awesome. That's an amazing fight, and that could hold the key to the whole freaking bantamweight division. Because we don't know what Dominic Cruz's next fight next. TJ Dillashaw's making $100,000 bets. Cody Garbrandt's talking a whole bunch of trash. Jimmy Rivera's popping up into the top five. We don't know what's going to happen.
But somehow Uri Faber will get the shot.
I mean, UFC Sacramento's happening.
There we go. There
headlining
it is.
That card. Come on.
Give it up.
That's not even a question.
The California kid.
Yeah. But just when it comes to all this stuff, if you're interested in the sport like we are, this is something to watch out for. If you're just interested, I want to watch UFC and see two people beat each other up, then you'll be fine. But like when we see stuff like this, and then all of a sudden, remember how Dana White said that CM Punk would probably not fight ever again? Now all of a sudden, the pay-per-view numbers came in. Maybe he is a draw after all. Maybe he might end up getting another fight.
Yeah, but I don't know how many people would want to watch that again. Part two isn't going to be no better.
The sequel is always worse than the original.
Yeah, man, I don't think it'll get any better.
All right. So we'll talk about UFC 205 more as it approaches. We've got some big cards coming up. UFC 204, of course, is happening with Michael Bisping and Dan Henderson.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's the fight of the year.
That's your fight of the year.
Yes.
That's for damn sure. But as we mentioned, let's close out the show on a fight note, if you will. Remember, you can find us online, fullmountainmma.com. I'm going to have a fight preview up of the main event of this fight in Portland, Oregon, which the fight card for all you East Coast fans starts at 11 o'clock, the main card.
Yes.
So be excited to watch two 135-pounders fight at 1:30 in the morning, Sunday morning.
Yeah, but you know what the best part about it is? You don't even have to go to sleep. You get Sunday football starting at 9:30, the London game, Jacksonville.
You do. Mm-hmm. That is true. And speaking of, how are your Miami Dolphins doing?
It's not good.
It's not good.
The only good thing is there's only 2 minutes left in the game.
That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that the battle between the Bengals and the Dolphins is a different result.
I think the problem is the jerseys look like the Cleveland Browns.
They are no, they're the creamsicle Tampa Bay Buccaneer jerseys.
Yeah, whatever. They're playing like the Browns. Sorry.
I mean, hey. Oh. I mean, that game last week, Cody Parkey doesn't miss three field goals.
Yeah.
And you're looking at 0-4. Yeah. Somebody who's not looking at 0-4, and both fighters have been on a roll, John Lineker and John Dodson.
Look at this guy. That's a segue.
I am excited. Dude, I am excited. We have two small guys who are going to beat the living crap out of each other in a 5-round main event live from Portland, Oregon, as we mentioned, 11 o'clock this Saturday night. Also on the main card, Will Brooks, the famed former Bellator lightweight champion, coming over to the UFC. He's got Alex Cowboy Oliveira, the co-main event. But the main event of the evening, sir, number 3 ranked John Lineker, number 10 ranked John Dodson. Throw the rankings out the window. These two guys, former flyweights. Dodson, who beat everybody at 125, except for the one dude you kind of need to beat to win the title, in Demetrius Johnson, takes on...
The good part is nobody's really beaten Demetrius
Johnson. Yeah. I don't think anybody ever will.
Yeah, it's not looking good. Not looking good.
And then he faces off against everyone's favorite tiny Brazilian, John Hands of Stone Lineker. This guy, man, one of my favorite fighters to watch. Both 5'3", both 135 pounds coming into this bantamweight bout. And, Sean, just give me your impression on this fight, because I think this can go any which way possible with these guys.
No, it's gonna be fast. And, you know, that's the thing I like about these guys is, you know, the speed, the tempo they kind of set. But I just – my problem is going to be it's going to be 1:30 in the morning. I don't know if I'll be able to keep up with the tempo and the pace that they're going to be setting.
Well, that's what you got to do. You go sleep at like 10 o'clock, 10:30, and then you wake up at 1 o'clock and go, oh, my God, there's John Lineker.
So
John
sleep Lineker's through the fighting. Prelims is what you're telling me.
I mean, it's not the most advantageous. It's not a card that will command your attention. Nate Marquant is on the Fight Pass prelims. Well, you've got, you know,
let me ask you a
Diaz,
question.
Andre Tachefili.
Yeah, we were talking about these, and I'm sorry to get back to it because I know you want to talk about the fighting part of it. But
no.
How much do these guys make with the Fight Pass?
Well, it depends on their contract, honestly. It's not what you're worth. It's always what you have the leverage to negotiate with, as Jalen Rose loves to say over and over on ESPN, and I completely agree with him. Jim Miller, who's been fighting forever, I remember on 200, I saw his number come out was $65,000. He was fighting on Fight Pass. But there are guys that fight on Fight Pass that make $15,000. It's all an arbitrary number that whatever your latest negotiation was, that's what you get. That's the way it goes. So fighters do not like fighting on Fight Pass because not a lot of people have Fight Pass.
Yeah.
It's not like the WWE Network where people buy it and then you get to watch the pay-per-views. The UFC still does great pay-per-view numbers in a day and age where that really doesn't happen anymore.
Well, because they do it smart, though. They put the big fights on
there. They do it intelligently.
Yeah, you know, and they kind of tease you with all the networks. But, you know, I think the problem that they're going to have is the pricing of these things are going to get priced. They're going to get priced out if they have to keep trying to keep up with the McGregors.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I mean, people are going to buy and people are going to, you know, so you're going to get some good revenue. But it's just, I mean, the problem you're going to have is a lot of these guys like Dobson, Lineker, they're going to be the guys that end up on these Fight Pass UFC on Fox cards. And you're never going to be able to build them up. And again, I hate saying it, but it kind of goes back to what Vince McMahon and everybody says about wrestling is people want to see the bigger guys.
It's
going to hurt these guys because nobody's going to want to pay $59.99 to watch 2 5-foot-3 guys beat each other up.
It's unfortunate. It's just the way this kind of the is the model sustainable. We don't know for how long.
Mm-hmm.
That's the issue. But then again, you can find these draws. The Cyborg fight did over a million fights on FS1.
Yeah, but that Cyborg, again, that's almost like your Bellator fights where they bring out Shamrock and Dada 5000 and, you know, and things like that. Yeah, they did great numbers. You're going to get that, but you're not going to sustain that with John Dawson against Lineker, which is why they're on, you know, where they're at. And I don't know how they're going to be able to build up everybody. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Demetrius Johnson has a tough time as good as he is making a name. I mean, other than there's not much competition for him, but you sit there, him against Dominic Cruz, that could be a fight, but are you going to pay? I mean, me and you may, or, you know, figure out a way to get the $59.99, but is that a fight that a casual UFC fan is going to pay $59.95 to watch, unless you have to build it up with a whole bunch of names of, you know, a heavyweight fight here and, you know, and everything else. And it's just, we were talking, I just think these little, the smaller guys, Lineker, Dobson's, the guy, they're exciting for us, but for the casual MMA fan, they're going to be stuck on these UFC on Foxes, fight passes and everything, and you can't build them up. There's no way to make that change because the casual MMA fan's not going to give them that opportunity.
Yeah, it's true, and we'll see how this type of thing continues to develop. But we have to go back to our fight picks, Sean, because you know what? Because I'm gaining on.
Yeah, I gave you. I gave you the opening.
I did. You gave me the opening. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. You gave me Cyborg for some odd reason.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just.
You're being nice. It's fine.
Well, no, I just thought something was gonna. You know, I just thought. You know what? It's just like
the missed weight cut. You could have won. Yourself,
oh, something.
By the way, Cyborg should never fight at 140 pounds ever again.
Oh man, I don't see how she does it. I don't see how she does it, man.
I don't get it. Dana White comes out and says Ronda Rousey wants to fight Cyborg. We would like to hear that from Ronda's mouth before.
Well, again, we heard it from Dana White, which means it's not true.
Yeah.
So there we go.
With some of the stuff that Dana has to say recently. I mean, he's done a fantastic job at the UFC.
No,
again,
fantastic.
But, I mean, sometimes you need to be criticized for the way you do business. It happens. But we praise the UFC when we see with them doing a lot of good things. And then you criticize an organization when they're struggling with some stuff.
You should have got out with all the others.
I mean, he made a killing on it off of anyway.
And he's still making a killing. I mean, I guess, you know... Why not double dip, I guess?
Equity stakes. I mean, I wish I could take that. All right, so Will Brooks, Cowboy Oliveira. We'll do the co-main and the main.
All right.
Last time we saw Cowboy was what? Against other Cowboy in February?
Yeah, and it wasn't pretty.
It was not good. Yeah. So you going Ill Will?
No, I'm going Ill Will. He's looked good to me, and I'm not going to give you anything else.
He was
he wasn't the Will Brooks
in his first fight. I think we'll see more of that this time around. Mm-hmm. And for a fight that I just can't wait to watch, Lineker, Dodson. I mean, Dodson with his quickness, his ability to hit from range, get into space, do all these different things. Against Lineker, who would kindly like to meet you in the middle of the octagon and punch you square in the face.
Yeah.
Who you got in this one?
Well, you know, I always think about this. I'm going to compare this to the Roadrunner and Coyote. When you try to hit somebody with the stones and they're too quick and they just keep dropping and you're missing and you're firing off and then you just stick and move. You would think I'm going with Dobson, but I'm picking Lineker.
Ah, see, I already wrote it down. I thought you were going Dodson. I'm picking Lineker, too, strictly because nobody hits harder than John Lineker.
Yeah, I think
lightweight class.
But also what I was going to get at is one day that rock will fall on you, and it's going to happen this Saturday.
Splat.
It's going to happen this Sunday morning.
Man, I can't wait. I mean, watching Lineker fight is a thing of beauty. And, I mean, beating Dodson, I kind of want to see Cody Garbrandt, John Lineker. I mean, it's just a fight. It's literally a fist fight. I think that would be amazing to watch. Garbrandt may have earned his title shot against Cruz. We don't know what the hell is going on with Dillashaw. But, man, the winner of this fight throws himself into major contention. Maybe a Jimmy Rivera fight in the future for one of these guys?
Yeah, but if Lineker wins, he's got to be close to next in line, right?
If Lineker wins, I think he deserves a title shot.
Yeah, I mean, they have to have him face now Rivera or anybody else. I mean, I know Rivera's a friend of the show and stuff, but I just think if Lineker can, you know, make this his fight and look tremendous doing it, you know, yep. I mean, if he struggles and, you know, and maybe skates by, then maybe you go, okay, we need to test him a little bit more. But I think if he just blows through Dobson, which I don't think he's going to blow through him, but if he makes it a statement win, I got to believe that he's due.
Yeah.
I mean, I do understand that, you know, UFC kind of spins the wheel and makes the deal with these belt title fights. But, you know, I think sometime it's got to go on recognition of what they're doing.
And the crazy thing with these guys are, they're both new to the division. Like, Lineker was a flyweight who had weight cutting issues, and all of a sudden he missed a couple. You know what? I'm gonna fight a bantamweight, and that power came with him.
Mm-hmm.
Dodson, of course, we mentioned he couldn't get past the best guy there, and he wasn't gonna get a third fight against Demetrius, so he ends up here. And it should be fun. I can't wait for it. Anything else you wanted to hit on, Sean, before we get out of here? We talked about Aldo. We talked more doom and gloom than exciting UFC 205 stuff. I mean, if you're a normal, regular person, you probably can't even get tickets to it anyway. So that's one worth your hard-earned $60. That's for sure for UFC 205. Because, man... The vibe around Madison Square Garden is going to be crazy. I'll be in New York City that day, at least I know ahead of time, so I can tell you, I can report from the ground on how the Irish have taken over. It's a much cheaper flight to New York than it is to Las Vegas.
Well, I'm wondering if that's why the tickets are so expensive, because they're trying to make sure that it's going to be, you know, an Irish crowd.
Well, I mean, the thing is with McGregor drawing... they had problems selling tickets to 202, and because it's in Vegas, that flight is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
You can only get the Irish to fly over so many times, but you fly into New York, it's a much shorter flight. It's cheaper. That they're more run out from up Dublin. I mean, unfortunately, LaGuardia and JFK, which are two of the worst airports in the country, I can tell you from experience, and Newark as well, but. These going back and forth, not too bad. And it's going to be a weekend to remember, whether in a great way for Conor McGregor to become the first ever two-time champion simultaneous in the UFC, which will open up a whole other can of worms in regards to the defense of the featherweight belt and not defense
of
the
featherweight
belt.
Well, didn't some come out where he'll be the champion, but after the top belt, he'll have to drop one?
Like, didn't Dana White say you would have to vacate the belt?
Yeah, he'd let him get – basically like what we said. They're going to give him enough time to make history, and then they're going to make him relinquish one of the belts.
The problem was before this, the UFC said that Conor McGregor would have to vacate 145 if he was going for 155. Mm-hmm. Now he has the belt still, and he could win the belt. And White says, oh, yeah, he'll vacate it after. McGregor says he's going to have to gather an army to take one of the belts from him after UFC 205.
And that's the beast they've created. I mean, that is...
I mean, you have the greatest promoter in modern fight times, period, watching Conor McGregor talk. He prints money for the UFC.
Mm-hmm.
So you either feed the beast, or maybe the beast goes back into the cave and never comes out again. I mean, he doesn't have to do this. That's the UFC. The UFC has pointed themselves into a corner, and they get called out by other fighters for being McGregor's lapdog.
Yeah.
But the problem is, wouldn't any fighter like to trade places with Conor McGregor? Absolutely.
Well, that's part of the reason why they're doing the talking. I mean, they definitely want to have that opportunity. But my question to the UFC is this: if he's made $40 million this year, how much do you think he's going to want to make next year?
Hey,
and here's the follow-up kind of like to that question is, what if he goes in there and Alvarez does him like he did Aldo.
I mean, the price of doing business for everybody just went up. That's what it means.
I mean, but then again, you can't start pushing McGregor. I mean, what are you going to do? Do another Alvarez McGregor too, like you did Diaz?
You do Aldo
McGregor.
You do Aldo if he's available.
If I'm Aldo, I sit there and be like, I want to get paid.
Yeah.
I want to get paid because I'm not going to do it. He lost. Yeah. He's a champion that lost. I'm a champion that hasn't fought and won. You know, and now I'm going to sit here and I'm not. You know, this is where it's going to get interesting because, you know, if McGregor does not win here, I mean, yeah, he lost a little bit, but then they were able to make it up because they were able to push that fight so quickly. But if Alvarez beats him quickly, I mean, you're looking at a whole – I mean, this could get – I mean, ugly quick.
And that's why we do this. Like, this is why – like, McGregor continually puts himself in these positions, which we find incredibly insane because growing up, you see boxers avoid the big fight until they get up to that point, and then they fight, and then that's it. How long did it take for Mayweather-Pacquiao? How long is it going to take for Triple G against Canelo?
Well, that's because that was all money, though. Both of them wait. And again, in the UFC, you don't really have that option. Again, you're looking at it, and you're like, okay, well, you're under contract already for this much money, so this is what you're getting. You know, and McGregor's negotiated to get, you know, $30 million for this fight, and you're going to get, you know, $50,000, you know? And that's why it'll happen in the UFC, and it doesn't happen in boxing because they each negotiate their part of the purse that they want to take.
Yeah, and now things keep changing. Like, released tonight, the UFC has new owners, so to speak. 23 celebrities, including Ben Affleck, Adam Levine, the Williams sisters, Conan O'Brien included, have all invested in the UFC.
Wait a minute. Stephen Ross take over the UFC?
No. Stephen
We're
going to
have the orange carpet?
Well, he's got to work on his Dolphins team first. Nah. That's for damn sure. But WME-IMG, of course, Ari Emanuel, one of the highest ranking figures in that gigantic agency, portrayed very well by Jeremy Piven and Entourage. The UFC is going Hollywood. They want to be this big thing. That's why the TV deal is going to be spread apart. And there's this whole influx of money coming in. So things are about to change. And the UFC can steer their ship in the right direction, in the wrong direction, or straight ahead and see what happens. And that's what we have to wait and see for. It's why it's one of the craziest sports to follow, to cover, to do anything with this.
I think that's a mistake to go Hollywood. That's a mistake.
Well, we'll find out.
Because if these fighters can get more money doing action films, why do they need to fight?
Well, we shall see. Sean, is there anything else you want to
hit on? No, that's it. I made you talk for another 20 minutes on something.
Yeah, it's fine. This is what it's about. You're listening to TFM Live, the official podcast of the FullMountMMA.com. Every week, we hop into our makeshift radio booths, and we talk about mixed martial arts for, you know, 45 minutes to an hour. And we appreciate you guys listening in. We appreciate your opinions when you tweet at us, when you visit the website, and let us know what you like, what you don't like. Because when it comes to sports, you know, you always want a discussion about everything. I could talk until I'm blue in the face, but if nobody responds to me, I'm just creating hot air.
You're just blue in the face.
Yeah, literally. And it's like it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't compute. So we have all these ways you guys can get in touch with us and all these ways you can find the product. You can head over to thefullmountmma.com. You can follow us on Twitter at thefullmount, at bcoral11, at SS Sports Talk. You can head over to Facebook, facebook.com/thefullmountmma. Like us there. Find us on YouTube. Type in thefullmountmma into the YouTube search bar. We pop right up. And you can subscribe to the podcast right here on iTunes. Type in the Full Mount TFM Live or the Full Mount MMA. Either one, it will pop right up. Hit the little subscribe button. Review us, rate us. Let us know what you think of the show. We'll answer your questions. Anything you guys want to talk about, we're all about it here on the show. So thank you guys for listening. Sean, I hope it gets better in Miami eventually with this Dolphins team. I say,
hey, we're looking forward to the heat season, but that's not so much anymore either.
Oof. Oof. Soccer team. Oh, you don't have a soccer team.
Yeah, no, we're still waiting on that stadium to get built somewhere.
Panthers are good, right?
Yeah. But now it's preseason, so you don't know what, you know, we're busy losing to the Lightning tonight. We lost to Nashville yesterday because nobody's really playing. Now we're just hoping, you know, all our guys that got hurt during the World Cup of Hockey are able to go during the season now.
But perk up, it's fight week.
Yes.
We have Lineker Dodson. Yeah. Check that out, please, if you're awake.
A lot of Cuban coffee. A lot of Cuban coffee.
If you're on the West Coast, it's perfect for you. So thank you guys for listening. We'll have more on UFC 205, Conor McGregor, UFC 204, all of the latest news and rumors coming from the UFC. We'll be back next week. You can listen right here on TFM Live, the official podcast of Full Mountain MMA.com.
The TFM Live podcast is brought to you by TheFullMountMMA.com. Check us out on Twitter @TheFullMount.